What's good, WTD listeners? Today we have a very special guest with us on air. She was named first team all Pac-12, Pac-12 all defensive team, and Pac-12 all freshman first team. Please welcome Jazz Sievers. Jazz, so good to have you on.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We were wondering, so what was your recruiting process like for joining the softball team here at Oregon, and what really distinguished Oregon as your top choice versus all the other schools that were in the running?
So I actually started talking to Oregon. Well, they started recruiting me when I was in the eighth grade. And obviously, because I'm so young, they had to talk to like my dad, who was also my coach, because you're not really allowed to talk to like the players. And so they wanted me to come out to a camp. So I went, and I loved it. I loved the coaches. I liked campus. I just had a really great time there. So as soon as I got back, I was supposed to go visit another school like the next following weekend. But I loved it so much that I was like, I don't even want to go to another school. Like, I know I'm supposed to go to Oregon, which is like kind of crazy that like I didn't even kind of like experience any other school, but I just like knew in my heart that Oregon was where I was supposed to be. So I called Coach White and I was like, I'm gonna be a Duck, and he was like, yay. And that was like basically the whole thing. I was 14 and I was just starting my freshman year in high school, so that was my recruiting process.
So you mentioned committing super early. How common is that in softball? Because I guess some sports offer early, but not everyone accepts commitments so early. So from your experience, is that unique, or have a lot of your teammates had similar situations?
So it actually has changed. Now you're not allowed to even start recruiting or talking to coaches until you're a junior. But back when like I was in travel ball, people were committing super young, which was like verbally commit. I mean, since you do commit so young, the colleges are still allowed to kind of like take away your commitment if you're not like performing or progressing, and you're also allowed to change where you're committed because you're not signed yet. So which happens a lot actually. So it was really common for you to commit to colleges at a really young age, but I'm kind of glad that they switched it because they were making us decide like a huge decision at such a young age. Like sometimes you were committing to colleges even before you knew where you were going to high school, which is like kind of surreal. So I think it's good that they changed the rule where you're kind of more mature and knowing more like what you want for your future. So I think it's cool that now you have to wait a little bit longer to not stress as much about it.
So were coaches actually coming to travel ball games, when like to middle school travel ball games, or how are they finding like middle school recruits in the first place?
Yeah, so basically travel ball is where all the college coaches come watch your games. There's actually certain tournaments and like out of state things that they all go to, and it's like, you know that the colleges are going to be there, so they make it a huge deal. So they come to watch you, and then if they're interested in you, they'll come to more games, take notes, maybe contact your coach, stuff like that. But typically travel ball is where you get all of your recognition and where they see you play. So high school isn't really as big of a deal as travel ball is when it comes to the whole recruiting and college coaches thing.
So once you get to Oregon, you've been committed there forever, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get there, there's massive changes in year one. Coach White left, and not just right when he left, but kind of through that fall, people were leaving. So what's this experience like when you show up somewhere and maybe it's not quite what you had signed up for necessarily, but it's still – somewhere that you had loved in the recruiting process and were excited to be at?
Yeah, so it was definitely tough. I mean, I got the news from social media that our whole coaching staff basically left a month before I was supposed to go up to Oregon to start my freshman year. So that was really tough, and we didn't know who our new coaches were going to be. And then once that was announced, I was super excited because Coach Lombardi has been kind of like a legend at Oklahoma. She coached there for so long with Patty Gasso, and they've been super successful. So I was really excited. And I mean, I personally loved her, liked her, whatever, but a lot of the girls didn't really accept her the same way that they accepted Coach White, just because they were so used to something that sometimes people have a hard time with change. So I had to deal with a lot of adversity and just kind of going with the flow, but I knew that I was going to stay there no matter what. I wasn't just going to leave because it got hard. I was willing to just rebuild the program, see where we were going to go that year. And obviously it wasn't our best year, but it was a lot of fun regardless of all the drama and all the stuff that was happening around us. I'm really glad that I chose to stay, and I couldn't be happier now. So I think everything happens for a reason, and that was just something that had to happen.
Absolutely. And do you feel like playing under such a decorated coach like Coach Lombardi helped you along the ways in your development as a great softball player that maybe you wouldn't have gotten if she wasn't at the program?
I mean, definitely. She's been around top players. Like, Lauren Chamberlain is just one that's like a legend in the softball world. She coached her, watched her develop. She's been around the game for a really long time, so she knows what she's talking about. And so whenever she can give me tips or help me out, I mean, I just embrace it and I listen because she's one of the best. And so I'm really lucky that she's my coach and that I get to learn from her every single day.
We're going to get into some of like this year's success a little bit later, but talking about her coaching style, I know when people leave a program and there's a coaching change, I think it's really easy to pin it on the new coach rather than just accept that it's change. Mm-hmm. So going reflecting on that first year you had her, like, what is a coaching change like? Just as for a team, like, what's that process, and does it make it difficult for veteran players to mentor younger players when they also don't know what to expect?
I think all the freshmen kind of had it the easiest because we never played under Coach White or the old coaching staff, so we kind of just came in. We were kind of blindsided just because we did have new coaches, but I mean, we were kind of experiencing it the same as the older ones, but it was harder for the older ones because they had been around the old coaches and had a flow for what was happening, what they expected practices to be like, weights, like all the different things. And so now it's like the whole new coaching staff is in and they're trying to adjust everything. And I guess according to them, like, a lot of things changed. So they were just having a hard time like accepting it and would like compare the two styles, which I think is unfair to do just because, I mean, everyone's different and no two coaches are really the same. So it wasn't as hard for me as I would say that it was for our upperclassmen.
Sure, absolutely. And Jazz, I kind of want to go back to what we mentioned a little bit before about you kind of finding out that the coaching staff had kind of moved on that recruited you, and the team that you expected to be on before had so much success, and then you kind of go this program, we're making the best of the situation, but it's not the success that this program has been used to seeing. I guess what I'm asking is, was there a particular mindset that would help you kind of navigate through that first tough year, or any kind of values that you learned throughout the whole thing?
I would say the biggest thing that helped me get through that year was kind of leaning on my teammates and knowing that I wasn't in it just by myself. I mean, I had my team around me and we were all going through the same thing and trying to just get through it all together. So I think by relying on each other, we were able to stay positive and not really get sucked into all of the drama that was really happening in the media, or just people talking. So we faced a lot of adversity, and I'm really proud of like the way that we handled ourselves, because a lot of teams could have just like accepted it and been like, oh, this year is gonna suck, like there's no point in even trying because we're just whatever. I mean, at one point we had like 12 girls, no pitching. It was like ridiculous. And instead of like giving up, we were like, all right, like let's do it, like who cares, we only need 9 to fill spots, so like whatever. But we had a really tough group of girls, and I think that we were ready for the challenge instead of just like falling to the ground. So even though we didn't have that great of a season, I'm still really proud for how we handled ourselves.
I'm just curious, what's it like having practice with that small of a team? I'm guessing it's not something you'd ever been used to since maybe like elementary school.
Yeah, it was, some days it was like interesting. I mean, it was like girl after girl was leaving, and so the team just kept getting smaller and smaller. And at practice, it was like we wouldn't have like a left fielder, or like we would have to have one of our coaches play shortstop if like I was hitting or like something like that. It was like we weren't deep. We didn't have a huge roster. It was super weird, honestly, like being in the circle and there's not a bunch of bodies around you. So luckily this year we had a full team and we had depth. So that really helped at practices, especially because sometimes you get super tired if there's not people, like multiple people out of position. So I'm really happy that we had a full roster this year.
Yeah, so and this program has had so many great players over the years. And so for you to come in and have, you know, first team all Pac-12 as a freshman, I mean, I'm sure you always believe in yourself to achieve those things, but to actually go through a season and then have that honor next to your name, I'd imagine that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, I didn't really, like when I was playing, I didn't really focus like, oh, I want to get this honor and that. Like, I just kind of played because of the situation. I mean, I didn't take the game too seriously at the time because I was just like, you know what, like, we're just going to play to have fun. Like, we don't need to prove anything to anyone. I don't need to prove anything. I'm just going to go out there. And I mean, I guess it worked. So it was definitely an honor when those like results or whatever got posted on social media, and I had no idea. So it was a super cool moment when I found out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I saw you're a very highly ranked recruit for your class. I believe you were top 10, and I no doubt that you would have done well regardless. But do you feel that there might have been a blessing in disguise having this kind of small of a team, allowing you to be a bigger fish in a small pond and kind of speed along your development maybe a little faster than it would have been initially with a full roster?
Yeah, totally. So that's kind of the good things that came out of it. I mean, I feel like I've played a bigger role on the team last year than I would have if the whole original team was there, because we had some very high top tier players on that roster. So I feel like I wouldn't have made as big of an impact that I did last year. So I think that's a blessing in disguise, as you said, definitely.
So you go from that, and then all of a sudden this year, when coronavirus kicks in, you guys are 22-2. So what was that shift like coming back in the fall with a new team and then just catapulting into all that success this spring?
Honestly, we were just excited to have a full roster, to have a pitching staff, like not just Jordan pitching every single game of every single inning. So we were kind of just excited to be out there with everyone, and we made the most of our practices. We were just like hungry, like to play. We were eager. We just were so excited instead of being like, oh my gosh, like season's coming, like, you know. So I think that really influenced how we played and our success, because we just loved it so much. And that really showed when we played with each other. And we just love each other as people. So that really helped, because our team has really great chemistry.
So when you are going through that stretch, when you guys were heating up there before coronavirus, I mean, where is like the vision for this season? I mean, what kind of hopes were you guys starting to have for what this team could have been?
We were definitely expecting to host regionals and to make it to the World Series, hopefully. So we had big goals ahead of us, big visions. So it really was unfortunate when the whole Corona thing went down. I mean, we were in Cal preparing for our first pack series, and then we got the call and we had to come back home, which was really sad because season basically was done. And we were doing so well, so that kind of just crushed all of us. But then obviously we got the news that the seniors can come back, and they chose to, so next year should be really fun, and I'm so excited to see what we can accomplish next year.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine how tough that is, seeing such a promising season just kind of go to waste like that. But with that being said, you're going into the season next year as a junior and an upperclassman, and you're joining some seniors that are able to come back. What kind of leadership role will you assume, and do you think you'll be able to give some of the values that you learned as an underclassman and be able to teach them to the incoming freshmen?
Yeah, I think I'll definitely be more of a leader now that I'm an upperclassman and I've had more experience in the whole college scene, what to expect, and I can really help the freshmen coming in of what to expect and how things are going to go, because now I have basically kind of 2 years under Coach Lombardi's belt, so I kind of know how everything goes and how she works. So I'll really be able to help others that are coming in who aren't really sure of what's going to happen or what to expect. And then also on the field, obviously I play shortstop, so I will always have to kind of like talk, be a leader, be engaged in the game. I mean, you can't really ever take a pitch off in that position. So, I mean, leadership kind of came with that position. And so I've always tried to be vocal and tried to do whatever I can to help the team.
What kind of benefits do you see, in not just for your team, but I guess any team, having your seniors come back kind of for a second go around as seniors?
I think it's definitely an advantage because I mean, not only do you get your team back from the previous year, but you also have new, really good players that are coming in. So you're going to be very deep and have a lot of good talent on your team. And the seniors are really going to help because, I mean, they're veterans. They know they've had basically 4 years. This is going to be their fifth year. So they're older, they're stronger, they're just overall the experience. So I think they have an advantage, and all the seniors coming back are definitely going to kill it next year. So it should be really interesting to see how that all plays out, because everyone basically has their seniors coming back. So I'm curious to see the competition next year and to see who comes out on top.
Awesome. And Jazz, as well as being an accomplished softball player, you're also quite TikTok famous. Can you kind of describe how that kind of came about, you and your good friend and teammate Haley Cruz, kind of basically the whole process of deciding how to do this and what goes into making these TikToks?
Yeah, so actually our first video that we ever did was to Level Up. And we were roommates one weekend. I think we were in Missouri. I had made up this dance, this routine, and I showed it to some of the girls at practice, and we would just all mess around because I'm always dancing at practice. Like, I'm never serious, whatever. I like making up dances. It's just what I do. And so I obviously taught it to Haley, and she was like, what if we just, like, recorded it? Like, do you care? And I was like, no, let's do it. So we did it just for fun. Like, she wasn't gonna post it anywhere, but then she was like, oh, like, this is kind of like good, like, do you care if I post it on my Instagram story? Because at the time, I would never post something like that. Like, I was kind of still shy. Like, I don't know. Like, it just wasn't my thing. And she was like, do you care? And I was like, no, like, go for it. And then she was like, what about Twitter? And I was like, okay. And then it, like, blew up. And we were like, wait, what? And we were so confused because, I mean, we kind of did it as a joke and, like, just for fun. And then people really liked it and wanted us to do more and like DMing us songs that they want us to perform to, and I was like, what? Like, okay. So we kind of just kept doing it, and the fans really loved it, so we obviously kept doing it. And then TikTok became a huge thing, so then we just kind of made TikToks on our own together. And people still seem to like them. So I think we plan on doing them still.
So you didn't think it was going to stick?
Oh, no. Definitely not. I thought it was just a one-time thing. And then it just took off. And I was like, what just happened? It was all crazy.
So tying that in to the recent news about the NCAA is going to start letting athletes make money off of their brand and likeness, do you see things like that as being opportunities for college athletes to benefit? Because someone ran an article where they were talking about how just Oregon on the women's sports side had probably more athletes than any school that would be able to make money off of something like that. So do you see that being as an opportunity, and would it be something that you would take advantage of if you could?
100%. I mean, I think that would be a great opportunity. Definitely something that I would want to take advantage of if it happens or when it happens. I think that I actually didn't know that that article came out that Oregon women athletes would whatever, but that's actually very cool. And I don't know, I'm just waiting for it to happen because I think that will be super cool and fun. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember who wrote it, but it was, like, right after they made the announcement. So, but, no, definitely it's a great opportunity. And going forward, do you think that could catapult into something where there could be just compensation for performance? Or do you think – do you envision it being something that could lead to performance-based compensation as well from the NCAA or, like, through your school? Or do you think that for the foreseeable future, they're probably going to keep it just at, like, a brand thing?
I feel like it might just be a brand thing because some of us are on scholarship, some of us aren't. So I feel like they wouldn't take away your money based on performance because you signed for it. So I don't see there being compensation or, like, extra money being given just because you perform well. I mean, I think it's basically your job that you need to perform well, so you shouldn't be trying to perform for extra money or anything. But I feel like it'll definitely just be a brand thing if it happens.
Thanks again to Jazz for joining the boys on this episode of What the Duck. Like always, thanks for listening, share our podcast with your friends, subscribe via Spotify or whatever you listen from, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at WTDPod.